Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia, and it is the 19th of July, 2014. Welcome to another show. My name's Hereward Fenton. Great to be with you today. Well, today we're going to be talking about the biggest news story on the planet, which of course is the downing of another Malaysian Airlines flight. An incredibly shocking event and incredibly strange too, with the being the second Malaysian Airlines flight to go down this year. There appears to be no connection between those two events, but gee, it certainly makes you wonder, doesn't it? It's very, very odd, and there are very, very strange things being said by our own government at this very moment in relation to Russia and the Ukraine, and I want to break that down. I want to play you some clips. The Australian government is going on the warpath against Russia, and it is quite odd, is all I can say. I mean, granted, 28 Australians did die when the plane went down, but there have been a lot of other air accidents over the years. There have been many tragedies, and many Australians have been killed. The diplomatic storm, though, over what Australian government representatives are saying, including Tony Abbott and Julie Bishop, is really going to have a lot of repercussions. I mean, this is a very serious thing that's developed in terms of our country, in terms of Australia, going on a brutal attack against another sovereign nation over an event that occurred in another country. And all eyes really should be on the Ukraine. I mean, there is no evidence being put forward that has any credibility that that it was the Russian separatists. I mean, we're talking about tweets. They've advanced that tweets were mentioned. You know, it's all ridiculous, isn't it? It's all really thin evidence. It has no substance. So I'd like to play to you now from a radio interview with Australia's Prime Minister Tony Abbott from the last 24 hours to give you a flavour of what the Australian government is now saying on the world stage. And I can guarantee you, you know, this is having a major, major diplomatic repercussions for Australia, and it's fueling a warmongering tone which we are increasingly seeing now around the world. And of course, with the UN Security Council having already met and pouring scorn on Russia, it is developing into a prelude to war. Maybe it's just an intensification of a kind of a Cold War scenario. The clear intention is to demonize Russia and to create extremely negative propaganda. Now, was the entire event, was the downing of the plane done deliberately for that purpose, or was it merely an accident that really there was another target? And there have been suggestions that it may have been the Russian President Vladimir Putin, since he was in the air on the same day, flying the same route, and RT has certainly raised that. There are many, many possibilities, and we cannot know what is going on, what is the truth at this moment. But what I can tell you is that our government is acting in an irresponsible, outrageous manner, and I want to express my outrage. In Tony Abbott's radio interviews, he's talking about his outrage, and then he's brazenly pointing the finger of blame at Russia. Well, I want to express my outrage at Tony Abbott and our government for acting in such an irresponsible way and apparently playing to the tune of those who are trying to create war, trying to sow dissent among nations. And it is so pathetic and so cowardly. Shame on you, Tony Abbott. Now, we are going to play the clip for you that has inspired me to say that. Here we go. just loading that now.
This is a grim, grim day, and the apparent confirmation that it has been shot down rather than crashed as a result of an accident does obviously raise the stakes because it becomes not an accident but a crime, and an unspeakable crime, and obviously there are at least 23 Australians who are the victims of this unspeakable crime.
If the rebels brought down this plane, it's Russian equipment. Now, surely the Russians have to answer to this, if that's the case.
Well, I think that's a very fair point, Neil. They're Russian proxies, essentially. This is only happening because Russia wants to stir up trouble.
Let me just pause it there. I just want to comment on the way that interview was framed and the way the interviewer there, Neil Mitchell, brought in the finger-pointing against the Russians with no evidence to back it up at all. He just says, if it was supplied by the Russians, blah, 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 and then Tony Abbott just jumps in to savagely attack the Russians. This is warmongering. This is totally unacceptable behaviour. Let's continue.
Now, it's important that we don't make a bad situation worse, but nevertheless, if, as now seems certain, it's been brought down by a Russian-supplied surface-to-air missile.
Okay, sorry, I just have to pause it there again. If, as now seems certain, can anyone pick up on this? Can you pick up on the pure Orwellian evil of what this guy is saying? Pure Orwellian evil. If, as now seems certain. Let's just analyse that semantically. Seems. What does seems mean? Seems means gives the appearance of, looks like, might be, feels like, has nothing to do with fact, has nothing to do with truth. Seems certain. How can something seem certain? That is doublethink right there, ladies and gentlemen. A theory cannot seem to be certain. It either is certain or it is not. This is, you are being messed with, your mind is being messed with in the most egregious, despicable way. It does not seem certain. It either is or it isn't, or it may seem so. It may seem to you like, etc. Of course, that has no value. That has no evidentiary or juristic value. But the word certainty implies proof, and yet there is no proof. This man is a purely evil puppet of the globalist New World Order, and I'm disgusted and I'm ashamed to be Australian today.
Russia bears a heavy share of responsibility.
Vladimir Putin says Ukraine takes responsibility because it's their airspace. Well, that's another argument. If the Russians bear responsibility, in a few months the Russian president's due here for the G20. Do you want him in this country?
I don't want to preempt what might happen down the track, Neil. I think it's important that we carefully get together all the facts. It's important that we carefully consider everything that should flow from the facts as we know them. But this is no light thing. This is not something that can just be dismissed as a tragic accident when you have Russian proxies using Russian supplied equipment to do terrible things, if in fact this is what turns out to have been the case. Now, at the moment, all we can say is that the indications are this way. Let's wait and see exactly what transpires.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? A minute ago he was saying it seems certain, and now he's saying he doesn't really know at all. It's all just mind-manipulating rubbish. But this is what the general public is being forced to absorb, and they will translate that into acceptance of the pure demonization of Russia. And in whatever conflict is to follow from this, the public has now been massaged into a state where we just think, oh, gee, those Russians, oh boy, they're just so terrible. And I'm going to play to you another clip, actually, from Julie Bishop, the Foreign Minister Julie Bishop, speaking to ABC, and I'll play that to you in a minute. But that also highlights the way in which the Russians are just being framed as callous, rude, and culpable, but they're not even advancing any reasons for why. They're just saying, well, we just, you know, it seems certain, or, you know, looks like it to us. Anyway, I'll continue with that shortly, but let me just finish off playing this interview here with Neil Mitchell and the Prime Minister Tony Abbott.
Buyers, but nevertheless, this is no small matter. This is no small matter indeed.
You're right that we don't know everything yet, but the indications are as you say. Would it be fair to say that the invitation to the Russian president will be under review at some stage?
Well, I just don't want to preempt what might happen down the track, but plainly, this is a matter of deep concern to the Australian government, and it ought to be of deep concern to the wider world, because plainly what's been happening in Ukraine for many months now is an attempt by Russia to bully a neighbour. Now, this is just outrageous. It is absolutely outrageous. I don't say there are easy responses when a large and powerful country attempts to bully a smaller and less powerful neighbour, but nevertheless, it is an outrage, and I think there's no other word to describe it.
Okay, it is an outrage. Well, you are an outrage, Tony Abbott. You are an outrage. You are a despicable traitor to this country. Now, let's talk about the Ukraine. What really took place in the Ukraine? Well, about a year ago, the Ukraine decided against joining the EU. That's how the troubles in the Ukraine began. And we saw attempts to destabilize the Ukraine with the backing of well-known players, NGOs that are funded by US interests. And we saw neo-Nazi groups taking control of the country. We saw incredible violence. Over 250 civilians have been killed in the Ukraine conflict. We see a destabilization of a neighbor of Russia done for the very straightforward, clear purpose of weakening Russia at a time when the globalist powers were trying to seize control of Syria and break up the powerful alliance between countries like Syria, Russia, and Iran by introducing all this trouble and foment. That's what they've done. They're purely evil. They're purely disruptive. They're purely dark, these people. And then they get up on their moral high horse and talk about Russia bullying other countries. It is so despicable, folks. I just don't know what other words to use. We're going to break. I'll be right back. Stay with me. Men and women of Earth, may I have your attention? This is Herewood Fenton, host of Truth News Radio Australia. You're invited to join the info war as we work to restore truth in media and challenge the dark forces which now dominate mainstream news. I'm calling on you, valued listener, to use your hard-earned dollars to help us smash the globalist empire. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe today. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Well, we live in very interesting times, ladies and gentlemen. Very interesting times indeed. We live in a world now where there is apparently no such thing as truth. There are only memes that are put forward by media, by government, by men in suits, by women in suits, by people who are paid to make you believe something. But isn't it odd that they still place so much value on your belief, and they place so much value on your concept of truth? So even though the truth is continually misrepresented, even though the truth has been devalued to the point where you might as well say there is no truth, it's still of extreme value to the puppet masters, to the controllers, for you to think there is truth and for you to believe the truth that they say, the truths that they say are real about this world. So they're actually still gambling on the fact that you are stupid enough to believe their truth, when everything that they are doing and saying is pointing to the fact that they have no integrity whatsoever, that for them there is no truth, for them there is only a narrative. And we give you one narrative, we give you another narrative, we memory hole the previous one, we give you a new one, and we just do that endlessly, while you, like a complete drone, adopt the correct emotional response to whatever version of the truth they're trying to give you today. So let's return now to consider the truths that are being put forward by the Australian government in relation to this tragedy, this disaster, this mass murder that took place of civilians simply, you know, going about their business, going on holiday, shot down out of the sky at 10,000 metres. Let's have a look at what our Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop, had to say today.
And we're joined now in our Sydney studio by the Foreign Minister, Julie Bishop. Welcome to Late Line.
Good evening.
How likely is it that the Australian death toll will actually rise?
There are 28 confirmed Australian victims on this flight. 27 were confirmed this morning, and since then a 28th, who is in fact a dual national, so there might be some difference in the statistics that are being mentioned by Malaysian Airlines, but Australia has confirmed 28. There could be more because there are a number of names that have not yet been identified in terms of nationality, but at this stage it's 28.
Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko has called this an act of terrorism. Is that the Australian assessment too?
What we are seeking urgently is an independent international investigation that is credible, that is open and far-reaching, so that we can determine how this happened, why this happened, and who is responsible.
In the meantime, do you support his characterisation of this as a terrorist act?
We understand that it was a deliberate downing of this plane. That is an indescribably evil crime. Almost 300 people have been murdered on this flight, amongst them the 28 Australians. And I have been on the phone all day to my counterpart foreign ministers around the world, seeking support for a resolution of the United Nations Security Council for this full and thorough independent and international investigation. We owe it to everyone on board. We owe it to the 28 Australians and their families to find out how this happened and why and who's responsible. And then, once we've found out who's responsible, to ensure that they're brought to justice.
You've been hoping to speak to the Russian foreign minister. Have you managed to make contact?
No, I haven't. I called in the Russian ambassador and saw him in Sydney this afternoon, and as part of my discussion with him, I asked that he make contact with Moscow so that I could speak to Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Later I was informed that Minister Lavrov was on holiday and he could not be contacted, not for some time. I then asked to speak to a deputy or a vice minister, but I've now been told that I won't be able to speak to anybody in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Moscow.
Until when?
There was no time set, that I was just told that a phone call was not possible.
Given the international dimensions of this tragedy, it does seem a peculiar response.
An extraordinary response, given that in my conversation with the Russian ambassador, I sought full cooperation from Russia And given that Russia is blaming Ukraine for this tragic act, I would have thought that Russia would want to see a full and thorough and independent investigation as soon as possible and would be supporting a United Nations Security Council resolution to give effect to that investigation.
Okay, I'll just pause it there. Let's just consider what she's saying here. She's using innuendo against the Russian government. She's accusing Sergei Lavrov of not responding to her call. She's talking about someone being on holiday. She's using all of these tactics, which are cheap, cheap tactics, to smear the representatives of another country. It has no value. It has no truth in it. It has no substance to it. It is propaganda. She's acting as a little propaganda puppet, smearing another country. No wonder the Russians have got into such a storm over this. I mean, let me just read to you from the Sydney Morning Herald here. Moscow has voiced anger over being blamed by the Australian Prime Minister for the downing of the Malaysian passenger jet, without bothering himself about evidence and operating only on speculation. Mr. Abbott assigned guilt. Mr. Abbott's statements are unacceptable. And here we see Julie Bishop, our foreign minister, and top representatives of our government, making these horrendous accusations about high-level people in the Russian government, and also insinuating that they don't want to have an investigation, whereas Russia has been calling for an international investigation, and they've always been the first to do that. They were in Syria as well when there were gas attacks in Syria. The Russians are calling for an investigation, an international panel to investigate the crash. But our evil, despicable, propagandizing puppet leaders are almost like saying the mirror opposite of what is going on, and actually saying, oh, the Russians the Russians have to support an investigation, as if they aren't. You know, oh, the Russians have to show some interest and concern and help, whereas the Russians are the ones trying to lead this. The Russians are taking so much effort to try and bring this into proper international scrutiny. But everything is being misrepresented. Everything is being represented as the opposite of what it actually is. So let me just continue here with a little more from the evil propaganda minister here, Julie Bishop.
And that in my conversation with the Russian ambassador, I sought full cooperation from Russia. And given that Russia is blaming Ukraine for this tragic act, I would have thought that Russia would want to see a full and thorough and independent investigation as soon as possible and would be supporting a United Nations Security Council resolution to give effect to that investigation. If Russia believes that Ukraine is responsible, then Russia surely would be supporting such an investigation.
What's been the level of support you've had elsewhere in the international community?
It's been extraordinary from my first call this morning to the Foreign Minister of the Netherlands, Frans.
Okay, we'll just leave it there. You can see there is a concerted response here from the Australian government, and it's happened so quickly, it's happened without any due consideration, that we have to accept the fact that this was actually orchestrated, that they were told what to do, that they are acting to orders from their bosses, and our Australian government reports to higher authorities. Now, I'm not saying it's Barack Obama. I don't know who it is. I think it's the same authorities that Barack Obama reports to. It's the same authorities that Angela Merkel reports to and David Cameron. They're extremely powerful people who are controlling the agendas of our nations. Now, the downing of that aircraft had to be done with very sophisticated technology. It's flying at an altitude of 10,000 metres. It's not easy to take out a plane at that altitude. When we get back from the break, I'll continue with this theme. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Great to be with you today. Don't go away. Thank you. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Well, we're talking about MH17 today, and there's a lot to talk about. There's certainly so many angles to this, and I'm trying to highlight in this show my outrage and disdain in relation to my own government at the appalling propagandizing that has been done. I don't really want to get into conspiracy speculation because I think that that's actually already being done all over the internet, and a lot of it's valid. I will actually mention a couple of things here that I've found, but the point is that what is taking place on a geopolitical level is Russia is being demonized. And we really have to highlight that and not be sucked into the lurid sort of tabloid treatment that any speculation will have attached to it, which makes everything kind of seem ridiculous. To give you an example, the Daily Mail, that cesspit of gossip, has today published an article that is kind of a compendium of what they're saying is the latest conspiracy theories about MH17, from CIA assassination cock-up to nefarious Illuminati involvement, the MH17 conspiracy theories doing the internet rounds. Was MH17 shot down by militants trying to assassinate Vladimir Putin? Was it the work of secret society, the Illuminati, to establish the New World Order? Were MH17 and MH370 the same plane? Theorists ask why victims' pictured passports are in such pristine condition. Now, on the last one, theories fueled by the fact that MH17 came down 17 years today since its maiden flight. Now, what's interesting about this is that this is a typical tabloid treatment of conspiracy mixed with quite plausible and important information or speculation that comes from credible sources that needs to be taken very seriously, such as the claim that the plane may have been shot down in an attempt to assassinate Vladimir Putin. Because the two planes were on the same flight path, folks, and the two planes have very similar insignia. They have they're different airlines, but they've actually got the same kind of double stripe, a blue and red stripe down the middle of the aircraft, and they're about the same size. I think the Malaysian Airlines plane is a little larger. And of course, this came from Russia initially. We've got an article from RT on the Truth News Twitter feed, and RT has been mentioning it. Reports that Putin flew similar routes as MH17. I'm just waiting for that page to load. It's got stuck. But just return to the Daily Mail article. I mean, this claim about the two planes being very similar and the fact that Putin was on the same flight path is very important information. But this is being fed to you as part of what they call the conspiracy babble. Another thing that's been put on the Daily Mail article here was the questions about the victims' passports. Now, I've seen the news reports that had the victims' passports, and indeed, they were in absolute pristine condition. I mean, they didn't even look as if they'd been in someone's bag. They looked as if they were brand new. I mean, maybe it was just stock footage of a bunch of passports. I mean, quite often they do that with news reports. But the images of those passports are totally implausible if they came out of the wreckage of that plane, which was everything was burned up. I mean, it's just not possible, folks, for the passports to be in that condition. But, you know, the Daily Mail is now just mixing it all up into a big soup of the Illuminati and the New World Order, and ha ha ha, look at the conspiracy theorists, they're all carrying on again. Isn't it funny? Aren't they stupid? This is how it's being done. It's incredible, isn't it? Isn't it incredible, the fortuitous cooperation of the tabloid media, the government, and the main news cartels, and you know, the big players and the tabloid players, that they all just work hand in glove. They all dovetail with each other to mess with your head. The point of this show is not to mess with your head. I just want to actually talk about what I know, what I don't know, make it very clear. I mean, most people have already figured out the major loopholes in the official story of whatever happened to MH17. And most people who listen to this show are well aware of the long-term plan to demonize Russia and to destabilize Russia's neighbors. And we know that is part of a bigger agenda to assert control over the world by elites who are already very powerful. But you know what? They're not powerful enough. They want more. They want more control. And they see a rising China and an increasingly powerful and confident Russia as being a great threat indeed. And of course, they want to get access to Iran's resources as well. Now, I just saw another article here pop up on the ABC. The Australian government is facing growing pressure to ban the Russian president from attending the G20. Now, that is extreme. That is extreme. That is tantamount to war. The G20, of course, is a very important meeting, and it is the meeting of the big players. Russia, of course, is one of the biggest of the big players. For that country leader to be banned from the G20 will be an unacceptable slap in the face, and God knows what will happen. I'm really very concerned, folks, about what's going to transpire as the effects of this diplomatic storm unfold. The federal government is facing growing pressure to ban Vladimir Putin from attending this year's G20 leaders meeting in Australia. It comes in response to the downing of Malaysian Airlines flight MH17, with Australia blaming Russian-backed rebels for the attack. 28 Australians died on board the flight, which was shot down, as we know. And here a repetition of Tony Abbott's quotes. There can be no excuses, no buck passing, and no blame shifting. So that is the current state of affairs between Australia and Russia. What will be the effect of banning Putin from the G20? Maybe it's just talk. Maybe they won't do it. I mean, you know, there's been a lot of talk like this in the past, and then it doesn't happen. A lot of planes have been shot down in the past. Tragedies have occurred. And in the end, we pick up the pieces and move on. So we will see. I certainly hope, folks, that this is not the beginning of some global conflagration. Only time will tell. Okay, let's just talk a little now about the actual missile and the technology that was used to bring down the plane. Reading here from the Daily Mail again, apologies, I know it's a dubious source, but we have to use what we can get. There is another article up here on the Telegraph, which I cannot access because it says I have reached my limit of free articles. But there is an expert by the name of John McGraw discussing the missile technology that might have been used to bring down the plane. Perhaps you may be able to access that if you Google John McGraw on the Telegraph, or just put that into Google. Anyway, returning here to the Daily Mail article, almost nobody would have known what was happening. Experts describe the effect of the missile hit on MH17. Shrapnel-based SA-11 missile, known as Grizzly, will have shredded the plane on impact. It will have perforated wings, engines, fuel tanks, and the highly pressurized cabin, which will have exploded instantly. Passengers will have been oblivious to the hit. The 298 passengers and crew aboard MH17 will have been oblivious to the horror as a shrapnel-based missile instantly shredded the doomed plane. Okay, we're just going to break. You are with Truth News Radio Australia, and it is a great pleasure and an honour to be talking to you today. My name's Herewood Fenton. I'll be back very shortly after this ad break. Welcome back, you're with Truth News Radio. We're just talking about the type of missile that may have been used to bring down MH17, the SA-11 missile known as Grizzly. Now, reading here from the very dubious Daily Mail, the SA-11 missile is designed to pulverize an aircraft on impact. It will have perforated the plane at various points, ignited the fuel, and taken out the engines and the wings within a split second, meaning the people aboard will have been unconscious almost instantly. Well, thank God for that. I mean, that's some small mercy, isn't it? The surface-to-air missile hit the Boeing 777 with such force that residents in the area claim to have seen bodies falling from the sky like rags. Justin Bronk, researcher analyst at the Royal United States Institute, told Mail Online, an SA-11 missile is designed to shred aircraft. The extent at which the remains of the aircraft are spread across a large area seems to confirm that. The missile is programmed using a tracker to get within a meter of the target and then let off a ring of shrapnel, which will enter the aircraft at various points. The shrapnel will have hit the wings, the engines, and the fuel tanks, igniting the fuel. Of course, the shrapnel would have gone through a lot of people as well, and people's body parts would have been shredded as well. It's evil, isn't it? I mean, it's just so, so evil and so disgusting. A large aircraft like that is highly pressurized, and it will have exploded instantly upon perforation. Now, I have a video. I've managed to find another source for that video with the expert John McGraw. Let's play a bit of that for you.
As you heard this news, how did you bring in the idea of surface-to-air missiles? How did you think through that initially?
Well, you know, one thing you know in any accident like this and I'm almost 40 years in aviation now, early information from any accident is almost always wrong. But yeah, so still, I don't think we can rule out a mechanical. But if the airplane was shot down, you have to decide, was it from the air or from the ground? If it was from the ground, then then at that altitude, it has to be something more than a shoulder-launched surface-to-air missile, which could not reach that altitude. So now you're talking about a lot more sophisticated system to reach an aircraft at that altitude. And then the question becomes, who was operating that system? Was right. Was it the Russians or was it somebody else? And that's important because if the government is actually operating that system, they're very well tied in with air traffic, and they can coordinate to make sure that they don't accidentally shoot down a civilian airline.
When you look at this, and I think of the Buk missile system and, the many, many different iterations of a Buk missile system, it's a very sophisticated, multi-personnel piece of hardware. Are they all over the place? When a pro like you thinks of a sophisticated ground-based missile system that can go that high in the air, are there a plethora of them across Europe?
Well, I think every country has a system of these to protect their borders, just to make sure another country doesn't fly in and attack them. So I think they're pretty widespread along the border of most of those countries, and they are sophisticated, and they're typically combined with a radar system that's tied together with other radars, so they can get a broad view of an area and enough range that they can usually have time, if they want to determine whether it's a friend or foe.
Mr. McGraw, it's Mark Crumpton. Is there a sense then that there are a lot of these systems out there and perhaps we just don't know who's in control of them?
Well, there are a lot of these systems. They're almost always in control of the government. In fact, the countermeasures that we've been talking about, things and systems installed on the airplane, are really all oriented around surface-to-air missiles, because there are so many of those around the world, and they're shoulder-launched, easily hidden, easily deployed, very low-tech, requirements for training, and easily obtainable. And those typically have a range or a ceiling limit of 20,000 feet or less. An attack at this altitude, really, if it was a surface-to-air missile, points to something far more sophisticated and much more difficult to defend against.
Sir, if you talk about something sophisticated, then it should be able to detect whether or not this was friend or foe, whether or not it's a civilian aircraft or whether or not it's a military aircraft, correct?
Well, certainly if that system is in place and working the way it's supposed to, it would include coordination with the air traffic control system so that they could easily identify. You know, if it's in the wrong hands, the level of sophistication of the operator comes into question, whether they could just fire at a target. And you also have to ask, was this intentional or not? You would hope they could, if they're trained on the system and had the right connections, they could coordinate with air traffic and find out. But in the hands of somebody that is not connected to the government directly, they may not be able to.
John McGraw, to pick up on Mark Crumpton's comment, what is the percentage of time that any commercial airplane would not have their systems engaged so the military would know who they are? Is that a possibility here, that any given commercial aircraft would not have the telemetry up so they would know who that plane is?
Well, not if they're following their own procedures, not if they're following international procedures. They have to have their transponder on. They have to have systems turned on the airplane. They're handed off between air traffic control centers so that the information about that aircraft, the flight plan, the route of flight, is all anticipated, and the handoff is done directly between the air traffic control centers so that they know to expect the airplane coming in. They know where it's going to depart their airspace. If everything's working right, then that should never happen.
Mr. McGraw, before this accident occurred, would you have flown over Ukraine?
I would likely have taken a flight that overflew that airspace. The assumption has been till now that governments are in control of those systems and that there's not a lot of upside for a government to take down a commercial airplane. So, you know, this may be something new that we have to worry about, or you know, as I said, a lot of the information may...
Okay, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm going to call this... I know I said I wasn't going to conspiracy theorize in today's show, but basically this has to be a covert operation. It has to be a covert operation, and I'm taking my cues here from John McGraw. Of course the government was involved in it. Of course. All the resources of a powerful government, like the United States, was clearly involved in it. Clearly it was a black op funded and overseen by people with a high level of technological expertise to make it happen. There is no benefit to any of the combatants in the conflict there in that part of the world to bring down a plane. There is no benefit to anyone, but there is a benefit to the overall geopolitical strategy of the puppet masters to have increased conflict, to foment more dissent in that region, and it's of extreme value to have Russia demonized. So to have the plane go down in rebel-controlled territory is the perfect strategic Machiavellian way of achieving their goal. And anyone with an IQ over 50 can see that there is no point in any of these people engaged in this conflict bringing down a passenger plane traveling at cruising altitude, has nothing to do with the conflict. It's just overflying that country. And as we saw there from the expert, I know that that the slant of that article was tending to be finger-pointing back towards Russia again. But the point here is that these systems have been developed for countries to defend themselves against attack. that's their only purpose, that's their only value. In any normal scenario, that's the only reason they would be used. But of course, this is not a normal or straightforward scenario. This is a scenario of the rich and powerful using covert operations to create false flags to further their agenda. And this is what we deal with. This is what we deal with again and again over the years. And this is just another one. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's absolutely shocking. It's absolutely appalling. And all we're going to see from the news is the continual denials and the continual false narratives. Now, we are at the end of the hour, folks, and I had actually planned this week to talk about the Israel-Gaza conflict, but I won't be able to address that this week. I'm actually hoping to get the independent journalist Harry Fear, who we've had on the show before, back on. He's actually in Gaza right now, and he's been reporting there for RT. So I'm hoping to get Harry back on the show next week. I'll just read to you briefly from an article here on Yahoo News. Gaza toll passes 300 as UN's ban Ki Moon heads to region. So while this little furore over the Malaysian airline flight has been taking place, another 100 or so people have been killed in Gaza. The Ban Ki-moon is heading to the region to bolster truce efforts. The new peace push comes as Israel's campaign against the besieged Palestinian territory enters its 12th day. US President Barack Obama has supported Israel's right to defend itself against Gaza rocket fire. Isn't that kind? But urged to work harder to avoid innocent deaths in an operation with a higher civilian toll. I think there may have been one death now in Israel as a result of one of those rockets that actually hit something. 300 dead now confirmed here on Yahoo News. In fact, it says 307 to be exact. That is a story we'll be picking up again next week. In hour two of today's show, we will be replaying one of our great interviews. Do stay tuned if you're listening to the FM radio in Austin. We'll be back next week. My name's Hereward Fenton, and as always, it's been a great pleasure talking to you, and I will return with more of the same next week. See you then.